KT Broadcast Studios. This is ABQ Connect.
Coming to you from the Power Ford Studios, Faith Family Ford Power Ford. In studio this afternoon, Jim Williams, welcome in to talk to our favorite nutritionist, Dr. Robert Downs. Dr. Downs, thanks again for joining us this week. Great reactions even since we talked last week from a lot of people asking me, hey, what are we talking about this week? And I know that you are always one of those guys that prepared, so we're going to talk about a few things today. We're going to talk about the antimicrobial effects of herbs, a little bit of the history of vitamins, talk about diets for seniors, and I would never use the word old people because I are one of those now.
The word I don't like is senior citizen. The word I like is elder.
Elder. Absolutely.
In all cultures where you have happiness and tranquility, you consider the older people as elders, which means sites of wisdom. Today, we've been relegated to the senior citizen place, which means shoved aside and considered to be sometimes even a burden.
Well, I can tell you that is absolutely not our perspective.
No.
Because we have you in studio, and you're going to be the sage advisor today.
I'm the old guy.
And if you want to talk to Dr. Downs, please give us a call at 505-338-5790. Again, 10 years ago, I was listening to you talking with Peter Benson, started taking a few different supplements, and it's just been tremendous in my life. So I really appreciate all that you do here and the ministry that you have with people and the encouragement you offer. And there's about 200 other subjects Dr. Downs is going to be on the radio talking with us about.
Oh, Lord.
That have things to do with, with history, biblical nutrition, and these are all things we'll be covering in the coming weeks. So thank you for joining us this afternoon. So let's start off right now with talking about minerals and some of their effects on us.
Well, the reason why that I like to talk about minerals a little bit, not necessarily for their individual effect biochemically, but also when you read a label, the key on that is, how do I express this in a nice way? You sometimes have been told to take maybe 1,000 milligrams of calcium, or 1,200, or 800. Well, if you look at the label, a lot of labels will say 1,200. But if you don't know what the form of calcium in that formula is, or magnesium, or manganese, or potassium, or whatever, and you don't know what the form it is, then you don't know what the elemental equation is that means the amount of mineral that you're going to absorb. For example, if you're dealing with 34 different things to look at in a formula, it will boggle your mind. But you've got some formulas, for example, like calcium citrate. If you have 100 milligrams of calcium citrate, you may absorb between 21 and 22%, give or take. Some of them have been souped up a little bit. Mm-hmm. Well, that's great. But what if you're taking a gluconate, which is very popular in formulas, you'll absorb approximately 8 to 9%. Now, if you have 100 milligrams of that, what is 8% of 100 milligrams?
Eight, correct.
So if you have 1,000, you're getting 80. So instead of the doctor telling you that you need 1,000 milligrams to help your bone, you're actually only getting 80 or 200. Or in the case of lactate, which is very, very, very well absorbed, you're getting 12.5%. So you're getting 120 some milligrams out of 1,000 milligrams actually being absorbed. So the form is important in all minerals when you look at the label.
Now, does the form difference help your bones or other health
Everyone
issues?
Has a different characteristic. Each one has a different characteristics based on who's prescribing it and what they think about it based on their own experience or what they have read about it or what's being sold. Way back when, the big thing was oyster shell calcium. Mm-hmm. Well, they did sort of put a squeeze on that because if you have oyster shells down there, they absorb all kind of nasty stuff, maybe a little cadmium, maybe a little bit of this, maybe a little lead. Mm-hmm. So that was very popular back. It was the be-end-all prescribed by doctors. Then they sort of shifted it away from all that and went to something else. They went to carbonates for a while, but then give you a little constipation sometimes. Mm-hmm. Then they went to citrate, which is a very good form, which is 21 to 22% activity, but it doesn't cause kidney stones. So when I talked about the FortiCal, which is fortified calcium, which is about 30 years old, invite people to look at the label very carefully. Look at the right side for the elemental. That's what you're going to absorb. Look at the right side on how much it takes of a particular mineral slurry reacted with citric acid to actually get something you can actually absorb. It takes over 3,000 milligrams of stuff to get 1,200 milligrams of activity. So at least you know you're getting 1,200 available to your tissues. This is why you need to really look at labels very carefully, especially with minerals. Just like the FortiCal, that's about 30 years old. This formula is antique. Mm-hmm. But it also was citric acid based back then when citric acid wasn't even an issue because the oyster shell calcium was the biggie. But we chelated this particular product. I helped with a company called Lampar Pharmaceuticals in Dallas, Texas years and years ago. And the New England Journal of Medicine came out with an article on the pH of minerals to make them more effectively absorbed, which is pH is 5.8. Mm-hmm. So put minerals in a slurry of citric acid back then, and you then create a product that is basically fit 5.8 as far as maximum absorbability. And so this was going on 30 years ago, and it's never been changed for over 30 years. It's effective, no kidney stone risk, but it also gives you what is called truth in labeling. What you see is what you get. And that's for bone health and bone support. Is that the answer for everything? No. You add to that your vitamin D components. We can go into vitamin D one of these days.
Sure.
Then we have to go into the collagen factors. All of these things are important to build good swallow bone. But the first way you start is to read a label and understand what you're taking and how it translates from the weight of the mineral into a biologically active form that you can actually absorb. Make sense?
Absolutely. Dr. R. Downs in studio here with Jim Williams. If you'd like to talk with Dr. Downs this afternoon, our phone number is 505-338-5790. So as Dr. Downs is going through a lot of this discussion, you may be right now. For example, last week I was intrigued with your discussion with one of our callers about she's about to take a medicine that she's afraid of the side effects
yes.
And you advised her to go to a PharmD.
Yeah.
And talk with them about what the effects of that medication are on stripping away vitamins and minerals
or
and
whatever.
Other types of things.
Yes.
And then you would recommend supplementing to complement that drug and make her overall health better.
Well, there's two levels of competition in thought. People think that you either have this or you have this, and the mixture can't be complementary. Well, complementary is extremely important. Otherwise, you cause serious problems by creating fear. If you create fear, then people won't take something that may be life-saving. So, but if you explain very carefully, this is what some of the side effects are, this is what it caused, then you compensate for those side effects, you take away fear. And then everybody's happy.
There you go.
Creating happiness also doesn't create angst with people. There is no saying, well, I need this particular magic bullet here, but I don't think your magic bullet is as good as my magic bullet. Therefore, I will give you my magic bullet, and I'll badmouth the other magic bullet. Does that make sense?
Absolutely.
That's the way things are. It's called public relations. It used to be called propaganda way back when. 1928, Edwin Bernays wrote a book called Propaganda. He was a nephew of Sigmund Freud. And after World War II, you know the Nazis, of course, used lots of propaganda.
Yes.
All political parties use propaganda, but they changed it after World War II because it was so badly used by the Nazis, they changed it to something called public relations.
Dr. Downs. Dr. Downs in studio with Jim Williams this afternoon on ABQ Connect. Our phone number is 505-338-5790. If you have a question for Dr. Downs about supplements or vitamins. After this break, we're going to come back and talk a little bit about vitamins. Stay with us here on ABQ Connect.
It's already time to think about going back to school. Albuquerque Christian Children's Home always gets new kids right before school starts, and they often arrive with only the clothes they're wearing. Plus, the children who are already at ACCH have grown. All of these kids need clothes and shoes that fit. Please pick up a gift card at local clothing outlets and donate it to ACCH. For more information, call 898-5520. That's 898-5520. Or visit acchkids.org. And thanks for helping the kids at Albuquerque Christian Children's Home.
Since 1970, Albuquerque Christian Children's Home has been providing a loving Christian home environment for children who are homeless, hurting, or at risk through no fault of their own. We accept these children without regard for their race, religion, culture, or social status, and care for them without any cost to the family member or the state. Our goal is to always show them the love of God through the care and dedication of the ACCH staff. For more information, go to our website at acch4kids.org or call 898-5520.
Now, a Hope Christian School update presented by Dream Style Remodeling. Hope Christian School was established to give students a safe place to receive a college prep education in a Christ-centered environment. Today, Hope Christian School has over 1,300 students enrolled and housed on 20 acres of land. Hope Christian School has a reputation for excellent academics, a competitive sports program, spiritual emphasis, and diversity among staff and students. You can support and expand the vision and mission of Hope Christian School. Go to the giving section at hopechristianschool.org. This update made possible by Dream Style Remodeling. The 2019 Star 88 Golf Tournament, Saturday morning, September 21st, 8 o'clock at Santa Ana Golf Club. This four-person scramble will help Star 88 meet the 2019 budget, while a portion of the proceeds will benefit Albuquerque Christian Children's Home. Enjoy a day filled with golf and giveaways and godly fellowship. Breakfast is provided by Monroe's New Mexican Food. Lunch provided by Chick-fil-A. Sponsors are needed right now, and golfers will receive a discount for signing up early at star88.fm/golf.
You're listening to KNKT. Welcome back to ABQ Connect.
Following Jesus means freedom from sin, but it doesn't mean freedom from hardship. Well, imagine the hardship of being born without arms and legs. Nick Vujicic gave his life and his body to Jesus, a body with massive physical limitations, and God has used him to share the gospel with millions of people. Nick will share his incredible life story with us at all weekend services at Calvary Church on July 20th and 21st. Bring someone with and enjoy a special message from Nick Vujicic. And Nick will be on the radio with us tomorrow, Dr. Downs. It's an intriguing message. He runs a ministry called Life Without Limbs, and this is a man that has accomplished so much. He's got four children, a beautiful wife, but he does not have arms or legs, and it's fascinating to see how he has navigated life, made it through all the difficulties of youth, came to faith in Christ, and you'll be intrigued to listen to him tomorrow.
Well, that's somebody to listen to because they've been through it and won. They fought and won.
And he is just... And the amount of energy he has, obviously the leading and empowering of the Holy Spirit is upon him. So it's going to be a neat weekend. That's July 20th to 21st. And so, Dr. Downs, let's talk now a little bit about vitamins. Most of us have taken them.
Sure.
Again, you may want to read the labels.
And of course.
In the context of this, I also want you to elaborate a little bit about the synthetic nature of some of the vitamins we take versus a natural or organic form.
Well, from an interest standpoint, everything originally was somewhat inorganic or organic. Just like when you watch the sprinklers in the valley, you'll see that they have black streaks. That's going from organic to inorganic on exposure to oxygen. So the word organic has been really messed up what it really is. You have an heirloom tomato. Well, you could say that's organic. It's been around for centuries. It just grows out of the ground. Mm-hmm. Then you have something synthetically made. You could translate that to the ingredient in a tomato or to a carrot. You can have carotenoids naturally occurring in lots of different vegetables, but like a carrot. Or you can take a carotenoid out, put it in a laboratory environment, and then you synthesize that carotenoid into a synthetic carotenoid. And then when you do the research on it, you can then say that this carotenoid did work or did not work, but you're using a synthetic to prove a point. And that synthetics can be more patentable. As somebody who has taken a lot of carotenoids in their life, certainly, and have used a synthetic carotenoid for a skin condition, I can walk both fences very easily because I know the effectiveness of it. But let's go back to other things. Ignore the word organic. Try the word natural, maybe.
Okay.
And then you have to interpret what that word natural means to you. If you have a chicken egg that says free range, well, what does free range mean legally? Does it mean a field? Does it mean with something with a lot of grass, or does it mean they've got a concrete runway to walk on? See, everything has to be interpreted as to how it's used from a public relations propaganda standpoint and what it really means legally and to you.
And I hear you saying that a lot of the motivations for synthetic drugs, names like free range, are patents.
You want to patent the product.
And exclusivity to sell that particular product.
Well, certainly. If you take, for example, Metasweet or Willowbark, that basically is just an herb which has salicylic acid in it. But then you translate that into aspirin, which was invented by a guy who was finally killed by the Nazis, prisoner of war camp, and then the German took the credit for that particular drug, but we won't go into that. That's historical. Then we go to the next step. There's a drug that was on the market that has, it's the same as aspirin, but they made a slight chemical configuration change at the tail end of the molecule structure, which then make it a patentable non-steroidal anti-inflammatory, but it's more dangerous for your kidneys.
Wow.
So you've got a lot of problems with this stuff. The key on this is to really learn what stuff is and what you need to believe and not believe. Make up your own mind.
Dr. Downs, we have Ben on the phone with us this afternoon. Ben, thanks for calling in.
Hi, Ben. Howdy.
Hello.
Hello.
Yes, before I ask my question, I would like to try and jog Jimmy Williams' memory. Jimmy and I spent a lot of hours together on the tennis court way back in the day. I don't know if you remember my name, Ben Miramon.
Oh, Ben, I remember you very well. How are you?
I'm doing well. Thank you, Jimmy.
You still swinging a tennis racket?
I still am. I will always play tennis. Don't compete anymore, but I'm still out there every once in a while.
Well, Ben,
you
used to take advantage of me because you knew that I couldn't hit ground strokes. I could serve and volley a little bit, but now my wheels are gone, so getting to the net's a little tougher. Ben, what's your question for Dr. Downs?
You know, on this side over here, too. Well, I have been diagnosed with severe peripheral neuropathy.
Yes.
Nerve. I've been to neurologists and a podiatrist, and basically they're calling it idiosyncratic neuropathy, which means, according to them, we don't know why you have neuropathy.
Okay.
Although,
describe how it manifests itself. What do you feel?
It's strange to describe, hard to describe, but I feel a tremendous amount of numbness, but at the same time, stinging and burning.
Okay, on the bottoms of your feet, do they burn or sting?
The whole lower foot, from the end of my ankle to both feet and toes.
Okay, next question. Do you, going back historically, have you ever stuck your tongue out when you're brushing your teeth and you see grooves and fissures on your tongue?
Yes.
Have you ever taken lots of antibiotics over a period of time for various flus and conditions?
Not over long,
but you have. I would suggest you put a timeline on when this developed. And I'll give you a little storyline on peripheral neuropathy. And one of the quick stories is my mom, who was diagnosed with having really bad things way back in the day. And she outlived one of her doctors. And they were giving her heart drugs and this drug and that drug, but her legs were numb. And she finally went to a lady doctor after the other doctor died. And they did a Schilling's test, which was a measurement of B12 in the system. They give her a shot of B12 and then another shot of B12. Medicare would only pay for one, so they doubled the dose. Then later on, after I become a practicing physician, then I gave her this oral B12. It was a B12 deficiency that caused her numbness, which went completely away. She had pernicious anemia from taking aspirin over a long period of time and eroding her mucous membranes. Let's go back to World War II. You had conditions in World War II with prisoners of war. Prisoners of war came back and they had peripheral neuropathy. Bad, bad, bad peripheral neuropathy. Almost beriberi-like, which was beriberi. And it was originally, did a lot of work on chickens. And they had the ouchy ouch, so a chicken would walk and you'd lift his teeth, lift up another foot, lift up another foot. Because they had the same thing, peripheral neuropathy. The Canadians did a lot of research. They were looking at bugs, viruses, bacteriums, anything that caused this particular condition. What it boiled down to be is this. Prisoners of war camp, you got just really bad white rice. Nasty stuff. In other words, all these years, they suffered from a beriberi-like condition. You could look that up, which caused peripheral neuropathy. Now, all the B vitamins are involved. It's never just one. But beriberi was the condition. They found out also in Canada that peripheral neuropathy related to the burning foot syndrome, which means tingles, burns, hurts, was pantothenic acid deficiency as defined by the Canadian research on their soldiers who came back from prisoner war camps. So back then, we found out that brown rice, the hull of brown rice, contained the ingredients to stop beriberi. And that's a fact. So I would talk to your doctor about your tongue, because that is the indication of a low-grade, long-term B vitamin deficiency, grooves and fissures and indentations on the side, groove down the center, maybe a little bit red on the tip, all B vitamin symptoms. Making sure you take kefir. I love kefir. It has all kinds of bacteria. Live cultured yogurt, good. A good acidophilus product to build a bacterial flora. Talk to the podiatrist about prescribing a good cofactor B vitamin. Now, you can also take brewer's yeast or nutritional yeast, which is what they did. You can also eat rice bran or something like that mixed in with your cereal and other things to get all those B vitamins. You've got to make sure the gut will absorb them. You've got to make sure that all these things are applied diet-wise and B vitamin-wise. Look at your B12 component. And you also have to look at diabetic components, make sure your blood sugar, because peripheral neuropathy is common in pre-diabetics or full-blown diabetics. So there's lots of areas you need to look at, and sometimes they will put needles in you and probe for neurological function. But it sounds like you need to at least investigate fixing your tongue issues, look at your B vitamin status, getting whatever testings you need to get done to make sure you have enough, and then increase your B vitamins if you choose, or the doctor chooses to give it to you, or doing something like that, because you sound like you're headed in that direction in your thinking. Does that make a little bit of sense? And I could talk for 2 hours on World War II and, sure, and deficiencies that occurred from the prisoner war camps. No, because it's never just one.
Right. Yeah. And Ben, the other thing you can do, and I want Dr. Downs to give you this information, his son-in-law, Michael Dubarsky, runs the R. Downs Nutrition Center, and you can go in personally and talk with Michael. Let him know that you talk with Dr. Downs on the air, and he can make some recommendations to you as well. But as you already heard Dr. Downs say, it's really good to talk to your physician.
Yes.
And I can remember, Ben, you remember when we were really young, you know, we all had acne and stuff. I remember taking antibiotics, which had nothing to do with acne, but the doctors all prescribed it. I can't believe that that was ever good for us. That had to be a bad thing. And and now maybe we're all paying the price for that. But I think with some of these supplements, we might get you back on the tennis court sooner than you think.
Now remember, proper diagnosis, do some blood tests, look at that tongue issue, go back in your thinking to when that first occurred. And there's some antibiotics out there that I really love. I mean, they really work. But there's also, I have allergic reactions to two of them, that if I take them, I will get a rash so bad it would take cortisone to get rid of it. And one that puts me on the floor. I mean, literally, I took them because they did a little thing on my back, and I ended up on the floor. My legs quit working.
Yeah.
I hit the ground. Benadryl saved my life.
Ben, thank you for calling this afternoon. Good to talk to you. Hope you'll call again. Dr. Downs will be with us again next week on Tuesday if you have any more questions. Thanks, Ben.
Thank you, and congratulations on your program. I've been enjoying it.
Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. Does it make sense what I said?
Absolutely.
Okay. Now, the historical aspect of things is critically important to thinking. So when you go back to a geographic tongue and all these other things, it all counts.
We will be back more with R. Downs, Dr. Robert Downs with us in studio. Our phone number is 505-338-5790. I'll have to say it clearly once. 505-338-5790. Stay with us this afternoon on ABQ Connect.
Here's Joy Junction CEO, Alma Reynolds.
Joy Junction has been serving homeless men, women, and children for 33 years now. And it's a dream come true for our late founder, Jeremy Reynolds, to have our new additional rooms and a separate space for single men and single women. But we need your help. Your generous donation means hope to somebody, and we are here to be that hope.
For more information, go to joyjunction.org. Be that hope. Go to joyjunction.org. Do you have an old clunker sitting there collecting dust, rust, and weeds? Donate it to Joy Junction. We would be glad to take it off your hands. Doesn't matter what condition, running not required.
We'll take it. Just contact us. We'll take care of the rest, even towing. Just call 505-217-9586. Your vehicle donation will help us provide housing for Albuquerque's homeless families. Joy Junction, bringing hope to the homeless. Won't you help?
I'm Rob Sneed, General Manager at Power Ford. If you're in the market for a new vehicle, I want to personally invite you to Power Ford. We pride ourselves on giving you a better deal and a better experience. In fact, we'll beat any new Ford deal in New Mexico, or we'll put $1,000 cash in your pocket. And that's a promise. If you want to pay more, that's your business. If you want to pay less, that's ours. Visit mypowerford.com or come see us on the affordable side of Albuquerque. I'm Montaño, west of I-25.
Call 888-243-8183 for details.
Since the Bible is the Word of God, since it does reveal the character of God, since it alone describes salvation and eternal life, since all these things are true of God's Word, how important is it to know what every word of Scripture means? Hi friends, John MacArthur here. There's only one way to tap into the power of Scripture, and that's by immersing yourself in it regularly. Every day on Grace to You, we unpack the Bible verse by verse, precept upon precept. And there's no better way to spend 30 minutes of your day. So join us here on this station for Grace to You.
Weekdays at 9 a.m. on KNKT. On KNKT, this is ABQ Connect.
Welcome back to ABQ Connect. Jim Williams in studio with Dr. R. Downs. Dr. Downs is the founder of the R. Downs Nutrition Center on Montgomery. And you can talk with Michael Lubarsky, who is the owner of that fine institution. And
Lichtenberger, I forgot.
Lichtenberger. Oh, and I got that wrong. Lichtenberger. Wow,
yes.
I'm glad you told me that.
Very Irish.
He is, Michael is also very knowledgeable about sports supplements. I've had a chance to talk with him on the phone a couple of times, and we're going to have Michael on the phone talking about sports nutrition and those type of things. But today, Dr. Downs, we're talking about elder nutrition a little bit in this segment.
Of course. Elder nutrition it's a fun thing, because I take all of my studies on elder nutrition going all the way back to my step-grandmother, because she taught me how to cook by accident. So I learned everything you could possibly think about butter, and just how to churn butter, how to do this, how to use the right fertilizer. And one thing they told me back then, as a side note, is they grow the crops to sell. They don't use the same stuff on the garden that they use on the crops. So this is why they always said, I'm going to eat that, but they'll sell it. I said, whoa, that's what I learned from my childhood. I didn't even think about it, but that was the difference between the way they grew the stuff. Now, in elder nutrition, here's our problem. You're taking drugs, medications, and many of the medications have a specific influence on nutrients. They can either get rid of them, knock them out, remove them, or what? Or they will tell you this medication is interfered with by grapefruit juice. So stay away from grapefruit juice. So then we have another problem here. We've got a blood thinner going on. So all these things that relate to thinning the blood and vitamin K components, you need to not back off those for a while, which means all the green leafy vegetables. But they don't take you off cauliflower usually, which is higher levels of vitamin K than the others anyway. But the point is, then you're taking another medication. Well, that interferes with this. And pretty soon, you're taking so many things that food may interfere with. One of the university studies that I used to just delight, they had everything there was to know about everything. I just love that medical school library. Anything you took, they had all the interreactions down to it was science. It was wonderful. Then all of a sudden, it all went away except one thing. Now they only teach what foods interfere with the drug, not the vice versa. So you're always talking about what foods will interfere with something. Well, this gets to a real problematic area, because if you're told that you can't, because you have a thyroid problem, take cruciferous vegetable family foods because it may contain goitrogen or something, well, then pretty soon all those things that prevent cancer, which is cabbage, Brussels sprouts, broccoli, bok choy, and all those, you can't eat. Pretty soon you got nothing. Maybe white rice.
Mm-hmm.
You can drink water.
But are they accurate in telling you that you can't eat those things?
Well, I have a number of patients we've talked to. Well, they can't take this. Well, I say, well, here's what you talk to your doctor about. I'm going to eat these foods. You just up my dosages to compensate for anything that might be a problem. Get me balanced out so I can still eat the good food. It's a matter of expression. But older people, elders, can be frightened into not doing something which makes them not be able to get the nutrients that they need. And they're scared to death because they have too many things going wrong with them. They may be losing their memory. They don't have their colon is acting up a little bit. In males, you may have a prostate problem. You may have a urinary tract issue here and there. So there's all these things that can go wrong. And if you create fear in their heart, then they can't get the nourishment they need. Therefore, they can lose their ability to think and to function because they're not getting the nutrients in because fear has told them not to do this. I'll give you an example of something else. If you're taking a diuretic, and I won't mention anything about anything else, and you're an older person for blood pressure, that eats up your potassium, magnesium. They usually replace it with magnesium, with potassium, but not the magnesium. And if you're testing, do a red cell magnesium to test. Then you're taking non-steroidal anti-inflammatories that basically will stress your kidneys. So if you dehydrate yourself and your kidneys with one of those blood pressure medications without talking to your doctor about it, and they don't talk to you about hydration, then you're taking a non-steroidal anti-inflammatory for your arthritis, which stresses your kidneys. Then something else that stresses your kidneys, and pretty soon you have kidney failure and you're on dialysis.
So you have to be really careful.
You have to be careful about that, but you need to communicate with your physician, and you need to drink water.
And the physician is going to basically tell you what foods will interfere with the medication.
That's fine.
But they're not going to go the other way.
Not the other way, necessarily.
They're not going to say how the medication necessarily affects your vitamins and mineral retention in your body.
Yeah, but you can go, and even if they got a good PharmD that'll talk to you, then you can always get that information from them, or you can go online and say, this is what I'm taking, what are the drug-induced nutritional deficiencies, and then you compensate for that, and you do just fine. It's the art of compensation, and the antidote for many of these people that are taking either diuretics, which dehydrate them, and or taking non-steroidal anti-inflammatories, which do stress the kidneys, even the non-prescription ones, then all you have to do is drink water. The antidote is water.
And are there a lot of people that just don't drink water?
That much. And so you need to talk to your physician about that, but always ask them the question with a proper degree of respect. Life has a pecking order. And so you want to get the facts out, and if you want to eat broccoli, and they don't want you to eat broccoli, then you say, well, how do I compensate so I can eat broccoli?
Good
and
question.
If you ask those questions, you can do that. And if you ever have a sense of humor, we could talk about pecking orders in life,
mm-hmm.
And that's a fun thing to talk about if you have a little humor. But when older people, nutrition, you want all the colored vegetables and stuff. You want the berries. Now, why berries? In other words, it's not the public relation marketing of a banana necessarily, which is high in potassium, which is certainly good for you, but you want to know what berries are good for. They're antioxidant. They have anthocyanins and proanthocyanins. They have antimicrobial influence. So just a list of all your dark berries. Now, each one of them has a different characteristic to a certain extent. But whether it be a blueberry, a raspberry, a blackberry, or any other berry, you usually need to pick the ones you like and always have some berries in your life because the antioxidant value is tremendous. The antimicrobial effect is wonderful, and they're good for you. Now, go to the vegetables. You can talk about all the pyramid stuff. If you want to, or you can talk about cruciferous vegetable family. You can talk about all the different families of vegetables. Now, the question is, how do you make your choices? You make your choices on those with your taste buds. If the doctor tells you you need to eat broccoli every day, you won't. But if he tells you that you should eat the cruciferous vegetable family on a daily basis, it gives you 8 or 9 different choices. You can eat one every day for the sulforaphane and the indole-3 carbinols, which help to prevent cancers, for example. That's fact. I did research at Houston on survival ability rate on women who had breast cancer to see if they could go to the 5-year rate using broccoli extract than they did. Indole-3 carbinol and sulforaphanes that you find in all those cruciferous vegetables are wonderful for you. You need your carotenoid family. You need your bioflavonoid family. So you can pick your families, and then you make your own diet, older people, based on your genetic history, what your grandmothers fixed way back then, and then you try to get quality. Now, if you go back to the butter issue, just on butter, I like grass-fed milk, grass-fed butter, grass-fed this, and grass-fed that, because I was raised that way.
Mm-hmm.
And so Then they changed it. You remember when Napoleon, well, no, what am I saying this
I don't
for?
Remember what when Napoleon did
well,
anything.
They had a butter shortage, and he was fighting all kind of wars, and they needed spready stuff, and so they invented margarine, which is a chemical reaction with beef lard, tallow, to make a spread for the soldiers. Well, then they brought this over to America, and then the war was on. So with oils, they made margarine. And everybody said, margarine is good for you. It's wonderful. All these nice hydrogenated things. Or butter will kill you dead, and your toenails will fall off. I'm joking.
That was the propaganda of the day.
The propaganda of the day. So everybody went on margarine. And then the law was changed. It said, well, okay, you can sell this stuff, but you may sell it in a white plastic bag, looking all totally white with a little yellow button in the middle. You bust the button. You have to knead it yourself to make it look like butter. Now, physicians, scientists, everybody was saying, butter will kill you. It's bad for you. It'll plug up your arteries. And then margarine is good. Well, obviously, that changed again. Remember, what was good is now bad, and what's now bad will become good in the future. It gets really complicated when you're paying for scientific research. And the same thing with eggs. An egg is a reflection of what you feed the chicken. So there was a period of time when eggs tested out terrible for your arteries. Then what they did then is they transitioned to feeding them deodorized seaweed, flaxseed, to create a difference in the omega-3, omega-6 relationship. In nature, it's about 1-to-1. In average egg, it was about 15-to-1 to the bad. Now they're putting feed back in to create pasture-raised, grass-fed, and omega-3-rich eggs.
We're going to be back to talk with Dr. Downs about things that are good for you. If you'd like to talk with Dr. Downs, 505-338-5790 is the number to call. We'll be back with Dr. Downs right after these messages.
Hi, this is John Chitwood with Southern Boulevard Automotive. There is nothing like seeing an old classic car completely restored, except seeing an old classic car that's been kept like new by its owner since the day they bought it. Our lives are like that. Yes, God can restore us, and He does, but He also maintains those who belong to Him. Here at Southern Boulevard Automotive, we will maintain your vehicle and restore your vehicle after those unfortunate breakdowns. We are ASC Master Certified and AAA Approved, and free towing with repairs. Just call for details. We are located in Rio Rancho at 2300 Southern Boulevard, on the corner of Southern Boulevard and Western Hills, across the street from McDonald's. Our phone number is 892-2300. That's 892-2300. And for maintaining your life and soul, or if you need to be completely restored to new, Jesus is the master of all, and He is only a breath away. Please call out to Him.
Here's Skip Heitzig warning us to watch out for the inevitable cause and effects of disobedience.
That doesn't mean you can live any way you want, make any choice you want, and God will cover you. It does mean that when you don't allow God to rule over you, God may have to overrule you.
Skip reminds us, we are invited into God's story. Don't miss your part.
As Warren Wiersbe put it, God will accomplish His purposes either with us or in spite of us.
Want more from Skip? Visit connectwithskip.com.
Whatever past expression of faith you have made, it's all invalid unless it's translated into the present experience.
Enjoy Skip's teachings from the comfort of your home. Add the Skip Heitzig channel to your Roku device.
I know that God is your God by creation. You're here. You're alive. He created you. I know that for many of you, God is your God by redemption. He saved you. My question is God your God by devotion? Devotion.
You're listening to KNKT. Welcome back to ABQ Connect.
Jim Williams in studio with Dr. R. Downs. If you'd like to talk to Dr. Downs, his number here at the studio, KNKT, is 505-338-5790. Dr. Downs has been on the radio with KNKT how many years?
Oh, so many years. And I was even had some stints on some of their programs. And when the old days, first talk radio in Albuquerque was KZIA.
Mm-hmm.
And I was on there almost 10 years, every day.
Outstanding. Well, and you and Peter Benson developed quite a great relationship, and I appreciate you so much being here with me.
Well,
let's wrap up a little bit. I know we can never wrap it up because we can talk for hours about elder nutrition.
Yes.
But wrap up maybe some takeaways that the people listening can have for today.
You want your variety. You want to be genetically significant. So if you know where you came from, making sure you add things from that era. You want to try to choose every color in the rainbow and all the herbs and spices accordingly. The best milk products, the best egg products, the best of that based on your judgment and research. And you want so much variety spread out. Then within that variety, you pick all the things that you dearly love. In other words, you may hate broccoli, but you may love cauliflower. That's okay. Mm-hmm. The same thing with everything. So you eat the things that make you happy.
So you're not going to force me to eat beets.
But no, but I'm going to really stimulate that Pavlovian reflex from time to time. But anyway, so you want the variety in that. And if there's a problem, you talk to your doctors. You don't want to give up tons of food that are good for you.
Pavlovian reflex is also referred to as gagging by me.
Well, Pavlov did some good experience that I really enjoy talking about from time to time on why those things, conditioned response.
Right.
And confirmational bias. I'm really good on that one. And how you create an environment in your brain where you believe something that's necessarily not true.
Absolutely.
And so it's fun going all this way back. This is why history is so critically important. And what your family relationship is. I mean, mine always goes back to the country. And I'm sincerely telling you that I grew up with no electricity after the first grade, no bathroom, no running water in the country before rural electrification came into Indiana. Because my step-grandfather was in on that group that finally got it in. And my stepfather later on was on rural electric in another county. But the point is, when you raised up in that environment, you learned tons of stuff about herbs and spices, preservation of stuff, what they use to treat things. Because you didn't go to the doctor back then unless you were half dead.
Did you learn a jump shot? That's what I'm concerned about.
I was psychologically traumatized when I moved into Jackson County when the neighbors had a great basketball court in their yard and they wouldn't let me play.
They wouldn't let you play.
No, I've been traumatized ever since.
Well, I had that same experience in PE. Whenever we were picking teams to play football or basketball or something, I would get picked kind of in the middle. But if we had to run, if we had any kind of running race, I was the last person picked. I got picked after the kids that had the dress shoes on, with shorts that were pulled all the way up to their necks because they could all run faster than I could. Well, let's shift now to antimicrobial effects of herbs.
Okay. That's a complete program in itself. However, I would suggest to you that all elders, all people should think about the herbs and spices, which goes back thousands of years into antiquity as their preservation value of food, keeps them from rotting. In other words, you might have a petri dish in a laboratory sometime with E. coli, Shigella, Klebsiella, and Salmonella in there, and you put in cranberry juice or blueberry juice or an extract of that in that, would it retard the replication of those herbs? The answer is yes. Not kill it, prevent the replication. Old wives' tale going way, way back. Mm-hmm. So you want to put those in your food. You want oregano, basil, thyme, rosemary. These are antimicrobials that do wonders for your gut. It prevents bad things from happening. Most people don't eat enough of them. Rosemary contains rosemaric acid, as does oregano. So all those foods should have a good supply of those herbs and spices. When you get older, you develop a mild form of hypoalgesia. You lose some of your taste bud sensations. So adding more herbs and spices to your diet in general across the board that match your hereditary profile is a wondrous thing to do. I mean, if you're going to eat Italian food, theoretically, you're going to eat a tomato sauce with stuff. But did you know from a historical standpoint where the first tomato was invented?
I do not.
Planted. South America, Mexico, Central America. The tomatillo is one thing. The tomatil is the Aztec word for tomato. So when Cortez came in, they were eating all these tomato things. So the tomato thing came in from Central, South, and Mexico as an Aztec word for this tomatoey thing. Taken overseas to Spain, migrated into Italy, and then, of course, to England, into France, where it was called the love apple. And then on the eastern United States, it was considered a deadly poison. And you planted them as a decorative plant, maybe, but for goodness sakes, don't eat it. It'll kill you dead.
Why did they have that impression?
Well, you had a Puritanary reaction. There was also an issue with called the love apple in France, which a lot of people in America didn't like from a religious perspective, and they thought it was toxin, and it was from the nightshade family, which was of the devil, so they wouldn't eat the tomato because they thought it would kill you.
just because it had a name.
Of the devil, nightshade, family, sure. Death, and destruction.
Gotcha.
So the point is that all these foods are wonderful to eat, and all the herbs and spices are there. But tomatoes was not invented in Italy. But it was culturally appropriated from Central America and South America and Mexico. I'm joking. I don't want to trigger you.
I understand. You're going to get me with this beets thing.
Oh, I will. Days. But I got to make that one really, really exquisitely good before I do it. Really good.
So as you consider what herbs and spices you're eating, I mean, I know you can go to the store right now. You could go to the discount store, and you can buy these racks of herbs.
Well, get the good stuff.
Well, that's why I'm trying to get to that point, is you can buy these boxes with those nice little spinning racks with all these herbs.
Don't.
And when you actually taste them, they've been in those bottles
forever.
For like 8 years before you bought it.
I'll tell you a story. I cook chicken soup really good. It's mm-hmm. been on Facebook, the stuff I brought for my family. Uh-huh. I was using an old bottle of Thyme that I'd been there probably 2 years in my closet. I always used that. Well, I ran out. So I bought me a nice green, fresh bottle. And I put the same amount of thyme in that soup that I normally do with the old stuff. It was inedible.
Wow.
It was so bad because I overdid it. So you want the fresh stuff. Get a pick out a good brand, good natural brand. If you don't want irradiated, well, fine. It ain't going to kill you anyway. But you get something that's really good for you, that's really nice and fresh. And you can look at the dates on it. You can do a little research online to find the kind that you really want that tastes good. Now, I have three bottles right now of marjoram. And one of them is really, really good. The others are marginal down a little bit. So I'll probably end up throwing those away or putting them out in the garden. But marjoram is my favorite. My next one is basil. But rosemary and thyme, as I mentioned to you with this particular sheet, I could give you antimicrobial herbs that you should put into your diet. But it should be some genetic things, because people hate certain things. A lot of people hate cilantro. I like cilantro.
Yeah, especially if you're a New Mexican and you're making some salsa.
But a lot of people don't. But a lot of people don't. By the way, I could talk about mercury poisoning and cilantro as a drug one of these days, too. But these antimicrobials, it's garlic, onion, allspice, oregano, thyme, cinnamon, tarragon, cumin, cloves, lemongrass, on and on and on, caraway, mustard, cardamom, celery seed, olives. This is an entire sheet of herbs and spices that inhibit bacteria to prevent food poisoning.
Fantastic.
But they also taste good. So you should pick out all the herbs and spices in variety that you like, put together combinations that you like, and use them every day when cooking your food. I mean, to me, sour cream and chives on new little baby potatoes are wonderfully good.
We're going to have one more segment with Dr. Downs. We're going to come back right after these messages. Stay with us here on KNKT.
G'day to you, it's Joel and Luke here from the band For King Country with some thrilling news.
This fall, we'd like to personally invite you to Burn the Ships, the world tour in Albuquerque, New Mexico on October 19th at Tingley Coliseum.
It's going to be quite a night of music and stories. It's just going to be you and us. We'll be taking the stage at the top of the show. And in honor of Burn the Ships, the production design will be inspired by the bow of a ship, making it the most elaborate but intimate night you've experienced with us yet.
And we'll also be playing more music than ever before. Every song from our latest album, as well as many of your favorites, such as Fix My Eyes and Priceless. Fix My Eyes.
So we cannot wait to embark on this voyage with you.
Join us October 19th at Tingley Coliseum. Reserve your seats right now at FakinCountry.com.
With a biblical look at your money, here's Rob West. There are 7 reasons to build wealth, and 6 of them are bad. First is because we're told to by society, and we do it without thinking. Next is envy. We want what someone else has. Then there's seeing it as a game, a winner-take-all contest at the expense of others. The 4th reason people build wealth is for self-esteem. They give to charity, but only to be recognized. Next is because they simply love it. But the Bible says the love of money is the root of all evil. The 6th reason is for protection. People don't trust God to provide. That leaves us with the only good biblical reason to accumulate excess wealth, and that's to be generous, to advance God's kingdom and point others toward Christ.
You can learn more about saving, spending, and managing your money God's way when you check out our books and other resources at moneywise.org, moneywise.org.
Back to Genesis with Dr. John Morris, geologist and president of the Institute for Creation Research. Dr. Morris, fossils are found in some pretty strange places sometimes, aren't they?
Yes, indeed they are, Chris. Usually they're found entombed in sedimentary rock, which originally was sediments that were laid down by moving water, but since then has hardened into stone, allowing the dead things to harden into fossils. But sometimes the fossils are found in truly weird areas. In a place in Britain, mud continually bubbles up out of an underground spring. It's not just water, it's mud. But with the mud often pops up a fossil. It might be a clam or a brachiopod, but it's in a pristine state of preservation. This is weird, but one thing I know is that it fits nicely within the general picture of the great flood of Noah's day, the one that's mentioned back in Genesis.
To learn more about creation, get our free DVD called That's a Fact. Call us at 800-628-7640 and mention the promo code FACT.
On KNKT, this is ABQ Connect.
Welcome back to ABQ Connect. Jim Williams in studio with Dr. R. Downs. 505-338-5790 is our phone number if you'd like to talk with Dr. Downs this afternoon. And we were talking a little bit about herbs and the antimicrobial effects of those herbs. I want to ask you about green chili. We talked about cilantro. What about green chili?
Well, green chili
is New
Mexicans? Ethically New Mexico as far as I'm concerned. And so it is the absolute epitome of good taste.
Very tasty.
And what you put in it, you know, the coriander, which is now cumin, making some of those red chili sauces are wonderful. And again, your taste buds will tell you whether you like it more mild, more hot, or vice versa. Now, jalapenos. Don't even talk to me about jalapenos because it makes me want to stop breathing. But if you take a penny's worth of jalapeno to create massive heat in a salsa, it'll replace a good green chili, which costs a lot more to produce. So I don't particularly like jalapenos because I have a personal bias against jalapenos because it shuts off my breathing.
That's a problem.
I'm allergic to that stuff. But I also understand the marketability of certain things. I like green chili. I like red chili. Every family in New Mexico has a different recipe for their own family green chili recipe. Just like in India, you have every family having their own curry recipe. So you make it the way your family likes it from a taste bud standpoint. And it's really, really good. You put all the herbs and stuff you want in there. It has to have a family taste associated with it to be really, really good. I learned that from a family up by the Cedar Crest area in San Antonito in 1977, on herbs and spices and things like that from a traditional standpoint, local standpoint. And the father was probably in his early 90s, and he took us out with his cane all over the mesa up in the San Antonito area, pointing out Yerba del Manso, Yerba de la Vibra, Osha, Coralillo, Canyontillo, all these herbs that are native, and all the spices, some of the things, and even cilantro that is used from a culinary standpoint or a healing standpoint. So I learned all that stuff after 1977, and it was fun. So every family has to pick their own taste, but in older people, you have to choose it based on what your taste buds like, the foods you like, how it makes you feel. Then you use for the culinary standpoint, have you ever smelled, and I know you have, the smell of vanilla extract, real vanilla extract, wafting in the air?
Yes, delicious smell.
Have you felt the absolute beauty of cinnamon wafting in the air?
But I have to ask you the question.
Yes.
Of course. Vanilla extract
smells
delicious, but if you taste it, it's absolutely contradictory to what your nose
just
told you.
There's a molecular reaction to whatever you're using it in, but your nose picks it up. I don't like the taste of it, but I like 100% real. I want cinnamon. I want allspice. I want all those culinary things that when I use them, it makes me feel good. And I'll explain a lot of the older people. I had a lot of patients in my history that had cancer going through chemotherapy, radiation. I don't treat cancer, but I do write dietary concepts for people going through it so they can survive it. And that was my skill, one of my skills. I was good at it. So if you lose your appetite, how do you create your appetite? I knew how to do that. Mm-hmm. You create it with taste, smell, presentation, and things like that. But the key ones we used, and I can tell you a long story about one recent case, vanilla extract, real. The smell of butter, the smell of cinnamon, allspice, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Even bay leaves. My wife doesn't like bay, so I won't go there. So every taste, everything has a brain-stimulating effect that makes you either feel good or makes you gag, a la the beet word.
Mm-hmm.
So we try to go in that direction and give people a structure of exactly what makes them feel better. And also, if they're nauseous, we have to stop the nausea.
Mm-hmm.
If they're losing weight, then we need to have rice pudding, tapioca pudding, and all the other stuff we can add to create something that's really flavorful from their past. We all get their childhood. If I ask you a question about when from your childhood, birthdays, Christmas, holidays, what did your grandparents fix? We would pick out foods from the past era that they remember as giving them pleasure. So if they're not hungry, they're nauseous, they're sick, they don't want to eat, so we have to create a psychological basis of that in taste, smell, and a good feeling. In other words, if they hate gruel, I'm not going to feed them gruel, but you have to go back in the past in order to find those things.
Well, I hear you saying also that there's not only things that will enhance your appetite, but
yes,
there's also things that will curb your appetite.
Well, certainly. We can do that too. Well, that's for weight. That's for weight issues. But when you're dealing with lots of people who were sick in the past when it was actually working, which I'm not anymore, we would always go back in the past. We want to have them eat foods that taste good to them. Bring back good, solid memory. And it always works. And if you have a sick kid, you want smells that help them to be reeducated with the word, I feel good.
Now, is it necessary with a lot of parents with small children that don't eat well or maybe kind of finicky, is it necessary to give them soft drinks and Twinkies and types of things that obviously are totally synthetic and man-made?
Well, people who know what to do, and I've got numbers of families that they treat their kids wonderfully well with really fantastic food. I know one lady and her husband, their kids, they have never had a bad food in their life. They don't even know what the word Twinkie is.
Mm-hmm.
And they are healthy, athletic. One of them just won a state championship in gymnastics. So, I mean, a lot of people do give them things. Now, when I grew up, soda pop, big thing.
Mm-hmm.
If I had an extra nickel, I'd get a Mars bar.
Mm-hmm.
Or Peter Paul Almond Joy.
Mm-hmm.
My brother, I hate to say this, but he lost his teeth early.
Mm.
Like in his 45, something like that. Mom lost hers early. I've kept most of mine, even though I have genetically bad teeth syndrome,
mm-hmm.
born back historically.
Does that have a lot to do with your diet?
Back then, there was a period of time I ate fantastically good food, had no money. Then when they moved away from the step-grandparents, he went on his own, we went through a period of pure poverty. So because of that, I won't eat certain crackers.
Mm-hmm.
I won't eat mackerel. Mm-hmm. Go out and throw it. My mackerel is your beets.
Mm-hmm.
I won't eat certain types of white bread that gum up in your mouth. I won't eat colored Jell-O of any kind. Thought of Kool-Aid gags me.
Mm.
So I've got a whole list of things from my past when I ate really good for a while, but then when we went through a poverty, there was nothing there. No money, no 25 cents for allowance, nothing. So you ate really, really, really bad food. There was no junk food of any significance because there wasn't any money for junk food. But they bought the cheapest food available, and it was just, in my opinion, terrible. So I had to make that transition in my thinking from that era to another era. Because I went through eras of plenty to nothing to hard work and lots of foods I hate because it reminds me of really bad things. And I know a lot of other people who have that same thing in their past, and they have to go back and say, well, why do I hate that food? And you'll find in many cases it's from a traumatic event. And that's why older people should really evaluate their lives, what they like, and put everything they like into their diet. They can always discuss their diet. Somebody will say, well, you can't eat broccoli because I told you why. Well, you need to negotiate with the doctor. I want my broccoli.
Dr. Downs, we have just a little bit of time
yes.
left. I want you to wrap up today. We've talked a little bit about antimicrobial effects of herbs. We've talked about vitamins, and we've talked about reading labels.
Yes.
A little bit about diet for seniors.
Yes.
Give us some quick takeaways for today.
Well, a big takeaway, of course, is read labels.
Read labels.
Number two is find the food that you like and consume it. And when you talk about microbials, we can talk 2 hours on that subject, but always look to them as your primary source of flavor.
Dr. R. Downs with us in the studio. Come back next Tuesday. Dr. R. Downs will be with us. Tomorrow we have a tremendous interview with Nick Vujicic. Thanks for joining us this afternoon on KNKT and ABQ Connect.
ABQ Connect is a production of KNKT. The views expressed on ABQ Connect do not necessarily reflect the views of staff or management of KNKT. If you missed any part of today's show, get the free podcast at knkt.com.